This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
In response to the information about all the research that Mark is doing, Randall had a response. Go ahead, please.
Great. I was just going to ask, how often do you plan on airing a show or doing a show?
Well, ideally, I'd be doing it once a week. It's interesting, this podcasting community. And again, just to go down the nostalgic road a little bit, Gene, for some reason, and I could be totally off, of course, but the current podcasting phenomena and the way that podcasters are promoting each other's shows on each of their platforms, it's this self-reinforcing thing. There's a wonderful thing happening in podcasts right now, and the way that there's room for everybody, so to speak. You know, I think about the early days when you guys were exchanging your zines and promoting each other's, magazines and your periodicals, et cetera, Gene. That's very much what's happening in podcasts today. I listen to podcasts quite frequently because I multitask and, you need to get your information or whatever you want to call it as you're doing other things. And podcasts are unique in that way. I'll just throw a few names out there and how I stay balanced in my approach to ufology and all things paranormal. I track the Solari Report with Catherine Austin Fitz, who's very good about the government's involvement in black budget. Joseph Farrell, of course, at the Giza Death Star and his ability to find esoteric history and connect some of those nodes. And then we have, for example, Micah Hanks, who's a little bit more into archaeology and he's a little bit more of a skeptic. He gives a good balance to the field. And then Greg Carlwood at the Higher Side Chats. I mean, here's someone that's not afraid of anyone on his program. And so in totality, then what's offered to you today is a very good cross-section of what's interesting to the general public. But then also it'll help you navigate where your niche is in there and how can you support some of these other podcasts and people's shows. So ideally, Randall, I would like to have one a week. It's very early on. I'm still in the phase of generating content and guests, et cetera. But like you guys, there's enough here where I could see sustaining a once a week program.
Well, yeah, I guess if you've got people who are coming in who are new and willing to come on the show, the reason I asked is because the level of research that you're doing, and you're even putting your own resources into it, not everybody can afford to do that. I mean, $30 an hour might not seem like a lot to some people, but it would be a lot for me to even have to pay somebody even for a few hours a week on a continuous basis to help dig up information. And then you've got to put it all together. So this is fabulous, but I can see those kinds of efforts actually taking longer than a week to bear fruit kind of thing. So,
well, you take guests on and you speak about what they're passionate about. And so you take a break from your own research and you just simply, as I described earlier about the way I've reapproached this after the Yvonne thread issue, is that I would like to make it more of a forum for other people such as myself or yourselves to come on and tell your story and tell what you're into, et cetera. So I think a good part of the content has to be about propelling ufology forward by getting new interest going. And there's a lot of interest out there. So many people I talk to every single week are so into this stuff. And they're dying for new content. They love it, It's where we're at with the internet. It's where we're at with Hollywood. All these sort of things. I mean, UFOs are a big deal. Big deal, UFOs. So I'm trying to drill down into something much more meaningful. So anyway, the point is we'll get other people's perspectives, content, et cetera, and hopefully that'll be a platform for a lot of other folks as well. In fact, I think that on the podcast, if you go to deepspacepod.com, you'll see that my opening statement is beyond light and deep within the void, we can hear you. And, that's going to be my approach to this podcast.
I like it.
Thank you.
But then, how many people out there, though, are, in your opinion, exploiting the subject? I mean, all you have to do is put UFO in one of your headlines, and you're going to be pretty much guaranteed a certain amount of traffic. So we see, say, for example, like on the Express, rise in mysterious TR-3B UFO sightings sparks panic in capital letters over top secret U.S. military plans.
I think that UFOs, in terms of seeing something far off in the distance, is what most people think of when they think about ufology. And there's a big mystery of what, is it a disc? Is it a cigar? On and on and on. But we're talking about sober people that have actual experiences in their lives that are very disruptive to their lives. And that's where the detail is. For me, scrape everything right off the top. Any sightings of lights in the sky, I pay very little attention to it at all. But now these accounts where you get to go back in and there's much more details to extract from that, that's where the real work needs to take place. And there are a lot of people out there that don't want you to bring up these old events, but there are a lot of people that are still, that have these experiences, that are still looking for validation. They're waiting for other people to put the scrutiny to it. Again, if there's content out there, that's where I feel like we need to be looking.
What about just basic education then, introductory stuff? If you're starting a site for amateurs that are new, are you going to be approaching it where you ask them, well, what is ufology to you? What is a UFO in your mind? Are you going to try to contribute in a way that helps to stabilize the foundation? Because what I see is when a lot of people come into the arena who don't have the experience or haven't done their homework, they all have their own ideas about what things are or how it should be, and it's not necessarily that well formulated.
Well, because there's so much opinion content out there, right? You know, it's about reminding people that their footnotes, their sources. I don't want to shut anybody down. That's not going to be the intent of creating a platform for amateurs, et cetera. The intent is to help them as they go down the road. And hopefully we'll have a forum component as well. And there'll be some cross-pollination potentially with the Paracast. So, you know, the idea here is to just help people get better oriented in a time of so much junk information.
And then, of course, for yourself, that means you have to be fairly well informed yourself, especially if you're going to be doing the interviews. So remind us again, how long have you been in the field yourself and interested in the subject?
As far back as I can remember. So I mentioned in the last show about some of the rumors that were going around when I was growing up in Minot, where, you know, we had all the missile activity, and we talked about the nukes and UFO stuff a little bit last time. We don't need to go over it there. That's kind of where it really started, is that, you know, I was in this environment where these things were literally getting reported in the local newspaper. So pretty much as far back as I can remember, Randall. You know, there's, anyway, I have some personal things. I'm not ready to talk about them yet, but, you know, everybody has some experience that helps propel them forward. And some are much more detailed than others, of course. So it's a little bit of mix, and I would say kind of the usual mix for people that make it this far into this subject matter.
What would you say would be sort of an essential reading or introduction to the subject from your perspective? You've been in it for pretty much all your life, lifelong interest kind of thing, and you're in your in 40s, 30s?
Yeah, 40s.
Okay. Yep. So That's around the same as what Yovav from our last guest. He's and so you can see there can still be quite a wide range of knowledge absorbed by people even into their 40s. So,
and I'm not I haven't read all the books out there. I'm not Tom DeLonge, you know, just because I read all the books, so to speak, that I know everything about it. And that's the exact opposite for me. I'm on a very specific, you know, sort of self journey. Because what motivates me is not all of ufology. I have this narrow lane I like to stay in. So a lot of the archives that I've gone into the last few years when I've decided to take this most seriously are Linda Moulton Howe's files, for example, at Earth Files. That information is, everybody has her opinion on Linda, but she has a lot of interviews. And a lot of transposed, you know, interviews and videoed interviews, et cetera. So I like it when I can get my hands on actual interviews. Now, all the classic books have been out there forever, and there's more. I mean, look, Nick Redfern's got another book coming out, as we learned last week, on MIBs, I think, and one on Roswell, et cetera. So the content keeps pouring in. But at some point, there are so many books that they are circle referencing each other. One book, they'll pick up the other book, they'll reference each other, and then it's kind of like, what's new here?
We got more to come. Mark, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 76280. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 76280. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Forgive the term, but it's almost an incestuous relationship where one book or one researcher reinforces the other. And quite often, well, this person wrote this, and that story gets quoted in another book or article. And a person like Kevin Randall, though, he kind of chases the sources to try to find out what is the original information about this.
Well, Gene, I'll ask you, while we have the opportunity, give us your top five books that you feel like if amateurs today were getting into the field, what's that top five reading list? And can you create some continuity between each of those efforts?
You know, I can't because I don't know that I have a favorite UFO book. Things like UFO Encyclopedia, things like Passport to Magonia, things like Mothman Prophecies, things like The Silver Bridge from Gray Barker, more allegorical than factual, things like that. But I've never sat down and said, you know what, this is my favorite book over and above anything else. I've never done that, believe it or not. Isn't that funny?
Which book, Gene, would you consider to be, has done the best job at encapsulating where we think we are on the topic today? Is there one?
I don't think there is.
Okay.
I don't think there's a book that encapsulates it. I think in terms of just having information about UFOs and related subjects, something like the UFO Encyclopedia from Jerry Clark would do. But the problem is it's priced beyond the reach of most people because it's fundamentally a college textbook in the sense of the way it's situated and the way it's priced, which is unfortunate.
Well, let's look at some of the free options. Let's go back to Yvonne. Let's take this all the way back to Yvonne, you guys. What contribution is Yvonne making with UFO today? What do you think the value is beyond just being able to look up case studies? Randall, do you have a perspective? I haven't visited his site, but let's bring it back to Yvonne. What kind of level of contribution are efforts like his doing for us?
Well, Yovav, he was someone I thought we should bring on just so that he could promote his site, which actually is there not so much for him to go out and promote his thing, but he's providing what he calls a platform for other people like us to be able to go there and say what we want to say, put out the information we want to put out there, even do some cross promotion. And to me, it seemed very constructive, and that largely the quality of the site is going to be determined by the content, and the content is going to be provided by the community. One of the points I had to make, well, if we've got anything to complain about in terms of the content, then we only have ourselves to blame if it's not there. He's been very constructive in putting it out there for us. It doesn't cost anything to do. We just have to see where it will go. On the books, what I would say is, well, essentially, if anyone had to read just one book to get started, you've got to go back to the report on unidentified flying objects by Edward J. Ruppelt. And that's on the USI site. You can read that for free. I think you can even download it. And you can find the odd copy in used bookstores if you try real hard. It's getting more difficult to find now. But there's a book from a person who was actually employed by the Air Force to investigate the subject back in the day before the internet, when the information that was out there came from actual pilots and people that he knew in the military. And I know people are tired of hearing about Kehoe, but he had military contacts in the Air Force. Gene, you probably know a little bit more about that than I do, but the books that he wrote were very good. The books Frank Edwards wrote were very good. The UFO Experience by J. Allen Hynek. That's where we get our close encounter categories from. You've got to do your essential reading to get your sort of UFO 101 knowledge down before you can really make a coherent comment in terms of what's going on in ufology, even today. If you don't know what a CE1 or 2 or 3 is, I mean, how are you going to communicate what you mean?
And I think that most folks, at least my observation would be, most people that are into ufology, or I'll just call into UFOs for lack of a better description of the lighter approach to the subject matter, yet they would never know what a CE-123 was, you know, and that's why I think that's part of the problem today too, is that there's so much talk about just objects in the distance and UFOs and not any of the real content today. I think that makes up 95% of the content on the internet is just speculation about opinion about speculation about opinion. So maybe that's part of us getting reoriented in this field as the generations move forward with this topic and this mystery, et cetera, is we may need to go back to books or audiobooks or something, and maybe we need to start promoting that, because I just find the content online so thin that it would took me many, many, many hours of, you know, sifting through this stuff to identify those sources. Now, I will say, when I finally found the Paracast and I had the ability to cherry pick the episodes you've archived, Gene, it made my life a lot easier. And, you know, you're getting firsthand information from the sources. You know, I look for a great deal of promotion for me in terms of the Paracast as I move forward, because as a resource, it was so important to get oriented.
Now, recently, just looking at some of the headlines here to talk about, one of the headlines that came out is 10 flying objects people have mistaken for UFOs. So here we just were trying to come up with, say, top five books. How about you guys? What are some of the 10 things you think are mistaken for UFOs? And let's see if they're on the list. Mark?
Reflection. You know, I just go to this, the junk folder for me is all the flashing lights off in the distance. So there's your usual suspects of municipal civilian objects floating in the sky, all the way to reflections off the inside of windshields, inside of camera. I mean, there's just so many things that things off in the distance or shimmering lights or UFO things acting weird could be. I think the field has done a good job of identifying the usual suspects there.
Okay, that's pretty good. Reflections, believe it or not, that's not on the list. How about you, Gene?
Obviously, test aircraft.
Yes. Number one, actually, some of the top three, we had the B-2 Spirit Bomber, the SR-71 Blackbird, and the F-117 Nighthawk listed right at the top of the list. Aircraft, basically aircraft, very commonly misinterpreted as UFOs.
Yeah, aircraft would have been actually my number one in terms of an actual object. The test aircraft, man, you talk about a whole nother industry of speculation, right? Breakaway civilization, a sector of our community being 30 years more advanced in terms of the technology, specifically military application technologies, et cetera. If that's your passion, there's plenty of material to go down, and you will no doubt run into the cases, Randall, that you're bringing up about how these aircraft were responsible for some of these more famous sites. Now, let me be very specific for a moment. What do you guys think of the Phoenix sighting? The last major sighting we had, in my opinion, was the Phoenix Lights.
We'll answer it maybe in the next segment. Mark, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. It's now the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. The president and Democratic leaders locked in a stalemate over border wall funding. GOP lawmakers are even breaking from the strategy, suggesting they should reopen the government and have the committees work out how they should address the national security concerns separately. Some of them are saying declaring a national emergency will just get stopped in the courts. Lawmakers are passing some relief legislation for the 800,000 federal workers going unpaid.
The bill was just passed, which I will sign in Congress making sure that everybody's going to be paid immediately upon when this is over.
The union that represents air traffic controllers has filed a lawsuit suing the Trump administration for withholding employees' pay. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Aha, the Phoenix Lights. Now, that's an interesting thing here, where allegedly there were two different sightings, one of which may have been flares, the other of which may have been something really, really weird. Now, I was here in the Phoenix area, in Scottsdale then, when this all went down. And for lots of reasons, such as I was kind of out of the field at the time, and I was writing technology books and magazine articles, I was otherwise occupied when this all happened. So I didn't get to see it. You know, probably if I just looked out the window, I would have seen what people see. But we also have people like Dr. Lynn Kitai, a medical doctor. And she has made, I think, something mystical out of the Phoenix Lights and has ascribed more to it than the case might have deserved. And, of course, we can't forget the fact that Governor Fife Symington, the discredited former governor of Arizona, a couple of governors, found themselves on the wrong side of the law, although he was pardoned by Bill Clinton for many reasons. So talking about, he brings on somebody wearing an alien suit. Mm. And we learn later on that, you know, he did that to be politically correct, but he had his own sighting, and he accepted the possibility that UFOs were real. But at the time, you know, he played up the normal conventional wisdom that UFOs were wacky. So if there's anything to Phoenix Lights, it's the original sighting, not the flares. I'll go with that. But what about Stephenville, Texas? What about O'Hare Airport from the 2000s?
Randall, can you fill us in on some detail on those cases?
Well, I know that we had, again, returning to Yovav, he alerted us to a movie. It was sort of a docudrama with Gillian Anderson in it that kind of surrounded the whole O'Hare incident. And that's a pretty interesting one for sure. The one in Phoenix, well, the Phoenix Lights, the whole sort of making fun of it, if I'm recalling correctly, the governor had said, well, people were taking it very seriously, and he didn't want to be
responsible for instilling any sort of panic about alien invasion. So he thought, well, you know, how can we inject some sort of levity or comic relief into this? And what happened is it just backfired on him in a really negative way. So I don't think it was his intent to make people feel marginalized or embarrassed about reporting, but it just didn't work the way that he was hoping it would. As for the videos, well, the ones where you see the lights slowly descending behind the mountains in the distance, that in my mind has been successfully debunked. Those were some kind of flares that were being dropped. The reason is that there were people who went out during the daytime to the exact same position where those flares were being filmed at night and took a daytime shot and then superimposed the daytime imagery over the nighttime landscape where you could see very clearly the edges of the mountains in the backgrounds. And you could see perfectly as soon as those lights got to where those particular points were, they just disappeared behind the mountain. There was nothing in there to connect them. They weren't moving in unison like people were saying. And that video has, in my mind, been completely debunked. Now, I don't know about the sightings where people say that they looked up and they saw a very large mothership-sized craft go overhead that blocked out the stars and then silently moved off into the distance. I can't speak to the veracity of those reports because we have no video. We have no other evidence other than people's, for lack of a better term, eyewitness reports or stories.
So do you think that that could have been a test aircraft? Do we have the technology to build something like that, in your opinion?
Oh, sure. We have the ability to build very large, lighter-than-air, perfectly silent craft. And there's some really interesting types that have been constructed out there. I think Russia's got the largest one now, but they're just lighter-than-air craft. They're like blimps, but they're shaped differently. And they use them for lifting huge pieces of material up to do construction work in some places. So we certainly have that technology. What we don't have is the technology for something like that to, say, float over silently to the witness and then suddenly go from 5 or 10 miles an hour to 25,000 miles an hour.
Hmm.
I haven't come across any reports of the Phoenix Lights where that was actually a situation. It was very slow. It moved over top of the witnesses and then off into the distance. It didn't just suddenly accelerate and streak off out of view.
Hmm.
Now, that would be much harder to explain.
Yeah, I agree. Just out of curiosity, Randall, what are the other four most commonly misidentified objects as it relates to potential UFO sightings?
Well, in the article I was just looking up there, well, we had satellites, balloons, paper lanterns. Come on, you guys. I mean, drones. Okay. And, well, one of them was interesting. Now, the satellite one, I've seen plenty of satellites, and if you've gone outside at night into a darkened area, chances are it doesn't take many evenings of viewing to catch one go by. But one of the ways that they describe these particular satellites is that up there are arrays of satellites that move in unison with each other. So when they go over and they're reflecting light at just the right angle at night, you can actually see several of them all moving together in the same direction. And that can give the impression of a larger single craft kind of thing. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, that is interesting, and all this is reinforcing, for me at least, Mr. Beckley's approach, treetop level down. It just seems like there's a lot more answers to be found when you're not trying to research things in the sky and you're actually taking it to the witnesses or the experiencers, or for that matter, the people who've had stories told to them from loved ones, et cetera. You know, the truth-seeking at the human level versus truth-seeking through speculation or disclosure to something to that effect, I guess, would be my point. Just seems like everything we've talked about is so speculative, it's just chasing your tail. You're never going to get anywhere. It's not where the research needs to be done. People need to go in and validate some of these experiences.
Sure. It doesn't hurt to talk, though, theory. I mean, some theories are better than others. Some opinions are better than others. Are you one of those people who believes that everybody's opinions deserve equal weight? Because some people are. We had, I think, Erica Luke's on. I asked her, you know, do you think everyone's opinions should be given equal weight? And she tended to say yes. How about you?
No, and I don't want to offend anybody, but there are a lot more people that have backgrounds or experience or some sort of confirmatory experience in their life where they can speak to things like, military aircraft. There's subject matter expertise that for me can heavily influence the amount of weight I put into, speculation or a story, et cetera.
Okay, so we still got a couple other things that are mistaken for UFOs that I'm just going to leave out there. I imagine that our audience has probably already got a couple of them in their lineup, but if you guys happen to think of them between now and the end of the show, just pop them out there, and otherwise we'll come back to them a little bit later. Real obvious ones we haven't touched on yet.
I think that anything that you can see in the sky, obviously the stars, planets, etc., can be considered a UFO. Obviously balloons.
Stars, planets, absolutely. Astronomical phenomena up there. Stars and planets, definitely. Also up there at the top of the list, Gene.
Meteorites, of course.
And there was your other ones. You got the last two. Back in Project Blue Book days, 14.2% of sighting reports were deemed to have been of an astronomical nature.
You know what? And we're going to have an astronomical phenomenon if we don't do our break. Randall, Gene, and Mark, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, M.D., AAEM, ACAM, A4M.
of NutraMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Mark Jackson is TDSR. In the forums, he explained what that means, so I won't bring it up. I think the Project Blue Book report is very important because it shows us the fact that only a small percentage, and it was higher in Blue Book, only a small percentage of cases are unknowns. There's so many things that can be mistaken. Certainly, I'd say the vast, vast majority of those UFO videos on YouTube were just lights in the sky. And no matter what they may have seemed to be visually, by the time the camera gets in action, you don't get those details.
True. Very true. I did account for them right out of some of the Blue Book files, and that for July 1960, 30 of 62, what they call good sightings, these are sightings that had a sufficient amount of information to determine what the object most likely was. Out of those 30 of 62, that's almost half of the reports were attributed to meteors. And only 3 were classified as unidentified. But that's still significant. That means that they had enough information in their report to be able to rule out these other things and say, well, essentially, it boiled down to some kind of alien craft. Because when you rule out everything else, what have you got left?
You know, the Project Blue Book phenomena with the launching of the History Channel series, I think it's this week even, you guys, it's going to be a double-edged sword for ufology. We're going to get a lot of, I would suspect, a surge in interest, and, you know, that'll probably be tracked across various websites, et cetera. But, you know, people will take that like those are facts in there. And so I would imagine there's going to be a surge in sort of folks revisiting those old cases, essentially, I guess is where I'm going with that. So maybe some of these old cases will get more scrutiny from the current crowd, so to speak, and we'll maybe glean some insight. So all things Project Blue Book in 2019 seem to be a good thing for ufology, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hope so.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it. I think one episode has come out, but I know that a full 6-episode set was pre-distributed to a number of the different podcasts and personalities, et cetera. So they had a chance to watch all 6 episodes ahead of time. And so far, everything I'm hearing from that pre-release is all very good things.
I saw part of the first episode. Now, they have this military officer played by Neil McDonough. A guy with, you know, kind of light, very light blonde hair. And you've seen him as a character actor in loads of movies and TV shows. The problem is that I saw him as the villain Damien Dark in Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow. So seeing him as a super villain, it's hard to accept him as a military officer. Just pointing that out. The first 10 minutes or so of the show, to me, were by the numbers kind of show. But again, I haven't seen the rest of it. That's just the first part of the pilot. The show is about 45 minutes plus commercials. You can actually watch it from the History Channel, and that's a big exception for a lot of these shows because some of them require that you log in with your cable or satellite provider's password first. So you can't see them otherwise if you don't have one of those accounts. This one you do. So it's definitely worth watching. I will have to see how this actor who portrays J. Allen Hynek does. In a very different way, it reminds me sort of the Project UFO TV series from Jack Webb of Dragnet fame. He was interested in UFOs, evidently. That, too, they kind of used real cases as the source material. But I recall the show as being ambiguous about UFO reality. Let's go on.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. We've got a few comments actually recently on our forum here about that show. And, you know, Han, he says, you know, this is a brilliant show. And one of our other regular participants, Creepy Green Light, he says, yeah, agreed. Thought it was pretty groundbreaking considering the years in which it aired. And then, of course, we've got W.W. Kirk, and he alerted us to this new show. And Doppelganger, he thinks that the first episode was pretty good, and he's in it for the long haul. Now, that's pretty good for a new show. I mean, I haven't heard that much enthusiasm in a positive way on our forum about almost anything recently. So, you know, that's encouraging, if nothing else.
I'm hoping that a lot of the folks that I am currently and will be reaching out to help some of my personal research will get enthused by, you know, shows like Project Blue Book, and they'll put a little extra effort into my requests, etc. So, you know, for me, just piquing interest across such a large cross section of the population, I think is going to make things easier in 2019. Social acceptance on some level, I guess, and that always. It's a boom and bust, right, in terms of interest. So hopefully some good things in terms of research will then piggyback off some of this enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's hard to say, but I think there's enough public awareness out there about it now. It's a matter of sifting out the signal from the noise, so to speak. And that's what we try to do here on the Paracast. It's not always as easy as we wish it could be. But if we apply critical thinking, and we look at the most likely scenarios, and this goes back to what I was saying about, well, not all opinions seem to carry equal weight. There's reasons why some make more sense than others. And I think we really need to instill that sort of thinking in the general community. So, fine, it's okay to suspend our disbelief to enjoy a television program. I used to do that regularly with the X-Files. I was a big fan of that show. And then you could enjoy the allusions that they make to real-life ufology. And I think we could probably do the same with this new show. It allows us to escape for a while into the possibilities of what could really be there for those of us who are really interested in the subject. You know, I guess the rest of the people who don't care, they can just go out and enjoy a golf game or whatever it is that they like to do, hang out at the, you know, the beach and watch the seagulls, or I'm not really sure. I know there are a lot of people, they just don't care. I think even if it was real, they wouldn't care. It would be like, well, how does that affect my life?
What keeps you going at this, Randall? What's your passion, or what makes you keep pursuing the truth, so to speak?
Because the truth hasn't been found yet. And that's just the way that I am. I'm a truth seeker, so I'm always trying to figure it out. And this is, I've heard other people, veterans in the field, say the same thing. They say Dolan, for example,
he got into, thinking he would be able to pretty much figure this thing out within a few months, write a book about it maybe, and then move on from there. And now he's, you know, look where he's at with it. He's turned it into a full-time profession and is publishing books by people on the subject now because it still fascinates him. From the time I was young to the age that I am now at 60, we still don't know where these alien craft are coming from. All we know is if we've seen one, we know they're real, but we don't know where they're from. And it represents to me something that is beyond, I guess, what we, for lack of a better term, our mundane daily existence, that provides some hope for the future, that there is something more to know, more to learn, something really incredible in terms of our place in the universe. And that doesn't matter to a lot of people. This was really one of the things that I found kind of almost hard to accept, is that, well, what if it turned out that it really was real? You can talk to, and I've talked to quite a few people who they wouldn't care either way. It's just like, well, okay, well, UFOs, no big deal. You know, how does that affect my daily life? Is that going to change the way that I drive to work?
Well, of course, we can do a large discussion about the possible impact of the revelation that we are being visited now by creatures from another planet. I mean, you have a look at the implications. We can go into that in a lot of detail. So I'm kind of disappointed that some people really don't care about it. They go about their business. And this may be what really will happen if there was this disclosure people are aiming for. Most people would say, meh, okay, let me change the channel and watch something more interesting than that. Mark, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.